Why do humans hold on to stuff? Oddments we don't use and yet can't quite throw out. It's not just you and me. Australia's oldest library is crammed with stuff that isn't books. Terrible paintings, old menus, human hair. Is this history or hoarding? I'm Annabelle Crabb. Come and have a rummage through the story of us told by our stuff. Search for the History or Hoarding podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
There's a lot of stigma and feedback around older mums.
That lady said to me, "Are you mum or grandma?"
As we age, we do have more risk of common chronic conditions.
You've worked harder than anything in your entire life to get this child into the world. It doesn't matter how old you are.
I think life experience helps you overcome difficulties. It's really the joy of seeing a new life, and it's good fun. Hard work, but good fun.
Making and looking after a whole-ass human child is the hardest, most continuous and thankless work of all the works. It takes grit, saint-like patience, a shit ton of financial resources, and a stoic approach to poo. So surely it makes sense that the ones we send into this battle are our most experienced soldiers? But being an older mum comes with a set of unique social and biological challenges. Exhaustion can come on quicker, you're teetering on the brink of perimenopause, your pelvic floor has decided to give you attitude, and you might be copping some side eye at the doctor's office or at the playground. But these days, women are having babies later. In 1980, around 4 births out of every 1,000 women were to women over 40. Today, it's 50 births in every 1,000. There's plenty of reasons why women are having babies later, from delaying to invest in our careers, to taking forever to meet Mr. Right or even Mr. You'll Do, to getting financially stable enough to pay rent in this economy, there's the availability of IVF, and the list goes on. So what is it like to be an older mum? And what can we learn from the women who have known a long and fulfilling adulthood before motherhood detonated a grenade in their lifestyle? I'm Yumi Steins. Ladies, we need to talk about being an older mum.
She knitted me a whole wardrobe of little outfits that were all the same and matching.
This is Heather. Long before she became a mum herself, her mother handmade tiny baby clothes for the future grandkids.
I've got like the exact same little jumper, pink with white stripes, and then I've got booties in all different colours.
Heather's mum had terminal cancer and she knew she wouldn't meet her grandchildren. She died just before Heather turned 21.
And I had my son just after my 47th birthday.
Wow!
So they had a good lot of time in storage.
When Heather was 19, she was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS. It's a hormonal disorder that can affect your fertility.
They had said, you'll definitely have problems getting pregnant with your ovulation cycle. It was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And you're going to need medication to help you with that most likely.
Heather met her husband at 26 and she knew she always wanted to have kids, but her husband took longer to get behind the idea. She was on birth control to manage her PCOS and also had major weight loss surgery in her 30s. So there were a few health barriers in the way before she could seriously pursue getting pregnant. Her friends and family were always asking her about when she was going to have kids.
I put a post on Facebook and said, look, I'd love kids. Very, very much. If it happens, it happens. But every time you ask me, it puts a little dig in my heart. So if you don't mind, please stop asking us. And so everyone just completely stopped asking us and left us to it.
Almost 20 years after she met her husband, Heather fell pregnant. She was 45 at the time. But on her first visit to the doctor, she was told the pregnancy wouldn't be viable.
He did the testing and pretty well said to me, yeah, I don't think this one's going to stick. Your numbers are not high enough. So he said, I will expect you to miscarry this baby in the next week or two. And I did.
How did that feel for you?
I was pretty sad, pretty heartbroken after waiting that long. So I stayed in bed for an entire week. I basically rested, loved on myself and spent some time just reading books and relaxing and letting my body heal.
Heather's husband took care of the cleaning and cooking while she rested up. But the loss clarified something for him. He really wanted to be a dad after all.
He said to me, "I didn't think I wanted kids until we lost this baby."
A year later, at 46, Heather was out at a local hot pot spot with some girlfriends. The moment she dropped some beef into the bubbling soup, she felt herself having an involuntary physical reaction.
The waft of the steam came up my nose and I just flung myself back in my chair, like, immediately. I was, "Don't throw up, don't throw up, don't throw up."
The intense nausea coming out of nowhere was curious. Come to think of it, her boobs were tender and huge. Heather raced home and did a pregnancy test, and sure enough, it was positive. Her GP could not believe it.
She goes, "You're not pregnant, this is menopause." And we were in there for ages arguing back and forth. And I said, "Can I please just have a blood test?"
The next day, Heather received a rather sheepish voice message from the doc.
And it said, "Hi Heather, this is Dr. Leave the name out. Your numbers are good, so you can go ahead and book that ultrasound."
Oh, wow.
"Okay, thanks, bye."
Heather turned 47 a month before her son was born. Her husband was 49. It was a high-risk pregnancy.
So I'm diabetic, and so I was straight to the one hospital in Perth that would take me as a diabetic 47-year-old.
Heather had to wear a blood glucose monitor at all times to check her glucose wasn't spiking. She also had high blood pressure and developed a non-cancerous tumour on her placenta. On top of managing her own health in pregnancy, a few months in, Heather's husband got some devastating news.
He has a very rare cancer all through his torso. You can get it in any soft tissue in your body, but it's kind of like a spider web through your torso, and it grows tumours off that spider web.
Oh, gosh.
So he had when I was, I think, about 5 months pregnant, or maybe 6 months pregnant, he had a 10.5-hour surgery to remove it. Mm-hmm. And then he spent a month in hospital recovering.
Heather spent a lot of time in hospital.
I was having to leave my husband's bed in the hospital to go to my hospital appointments and then back to my husband again.
Despite the health challenges, the risks, and, oh, did we mention the age of the mother? Heather ended up giving birth to a healthy baby boy.
When they held him up in the air and he had all four arms and legs sticking out like, and he just screamed at me bloody murder, I was just like, yes, he's okay. You know, like once we were home and just sitting there with this baby in my arms, just going, "I can't believe you're mine. I can't believe we did this." There was nowhere else and I wanted to be. I waited so long for him. I was so in love with him.
Have you ever heard the phrase, "Your fertility falls off a cliff after 35? Well, meet Dr. Karen Hammerberg. She's a researcher, an expert in women's health, and worked as a clinical coordinator of IVF programs for Monash Uni. She was in an episode of Ladies called Last Shot Pregnancy in 2021, which is a real ripper. Dr. Karen says when it comes to pregnancy, there is no cliff per se.
I would call it more a slope, I guess, at least until about age 40. Prime fertility is around, you know, late 20s, and then very, very slow decline up to 35. But what happens after 35 is that this decline speeds up a bit. And after age 40, it really is a push uphill to get pregnant naturally.
Okay, so it's not as drastic as we're led to believe.
No, I wouldn't call it that. And I think it's not very helpful for women to have that image about a cliff in their heads.
This whole episode is about older mums. Do we still use the term geriatric pregnancy?
No.
No, oh my God. That's what I was called.
I think it's a very degrading term. Yeah. I think it used to be that you were an older mum when you were 30 in the old days.
These days, if you're having a baby over 35, you'll hear the term advanced maternal age being thrown around at checkups. Advanced? That sounds so elite. I hope you get free access to a lounge somewhere. I wanted Dr. Karen to explain what actually happens to our eggs once we get to the advanced era.
So what happens from the very beginning? We're born with all the eggs we're ever going to have, and that's millions of them at that stage. By puberty, there's about 300,000 left. And then over our lifetime, we only actually ovulate about 300 to 400 eggs. So there's a lot of wastage in the system and a lot of attrition, as they call it. And that's a natural process of aging.
So a bit like our organs age as we age, our eggs age, and the quality and quantity starts to decline.
There is more and more changes in the chromosomal content of eggs, and they become less able to be fertilized and to generate a pregnancy.
Okay. So when we're worried about aging and fertility, should we be thinking more about our eggs aging than our wombs?
Absolutely. I think the womb is an interesting organ because even in older women who've gone through menopause, primed with the right kind of hormones, you can build up a lining in the uterus that is able to actually have an embryo implant and you're able to carry a pregnancy.
Postmenopausal women in their 50s have even been surrogates for their daughters.
It takes a hormonal kind of intervention with medication to a certain stage of the pregnancy. And once the pregnancy is established, it kind of looks after itself. And the womb can be pretty useful even later in life.
When you're trying to conceive later in the game, you're at higher risk of having a miscarriage. And that's because older eggs and sperm can form embryos that don't quite grow how they're supposed to.
The eggs are very often chromosomally abnormal, and nature has its way. So if a pregnancy has got the wrong number of chromosomes, it's either, you know, aborted so early you don't even know that you've had an embryo grow, or it goes for a few weeks and you have a miscarriage. So in women over 45, around 50% of pregnancies will miscarry.
Right.
So it's a very high. We also know that women over 40 have actually higher rates of abortion than young women. And that's probably because they find out that they're pregnant, it might be unplanned, and they're not really prepared to have a baby at that age. Or it is because the baby has a chromosomal abnormality and they choose to do a termination.
We walked in for the first time as first-time parents, excited for what's about to come next.
Meet Zoe. At 43, she was pregnant with twins. Zoe was in her early 30s when she first met her husband, who was 7 years older. She loved her child-free years, partied, built her career, and a few years after they met, they started trying for a baby. It took a long time to get to this pregnancy, including two failed IVF cycles. So they were chuffed as they walked in for their first ultrasound, the six-week scan.
The excitement is there, and then it's just ripped from you, like in a second.
As the sonographer was scanning, she realised something was wrong. The heartbeats were too low and the pregnancy wasn't going to be viable.
It was really devastating. It was devastating. Sorry, just to kind of have that excitement and then to be told that it's probably not going to happen. I sobbed so much after that in the lift.
After miscarrying at age 43, Zoe threw everything that she could at trying to conceive.
I changed my diet. I went to acupuncture every week. I did yoga every night. I meditated.
Did you ever thought, well, let's put a ceiling on it. We'll try X number of times and then that's it.
We did. And then I was like, you know, we should go again.
By the time Zoe was 44, her husband was 51 and she had been through 13 IVF cycles. Finally, she was pregnant again. At 6 weeks, Zoe and her husband went back for that early scan to see if there was a heartbeat.
And, you know, it was healthy. Heartbeat's healthy. Like, we just cried. Like, he cried. I was like, you're just praying and you're wishing and you're like, please stay, baby, please stay.
The pregnancy at 44 wasn't easy. And Zoe, like Heather, our mum from Perth, had gestational diabetes and high blood pressure.
The whole pregnancy just was scary, and I'm sure it is for a lot of people, but, you know, after you've been through so much and your body's been through so much, it was hard.
Zoe's daughter arrived 7 weeks early.
She came out literally 1.2 kilos. She was tiny.
She was tiny.
Teeny. So we were at special care for every day, every night, for 6 weeks.
After 6 weeks in the NICU, Zoe got to take her little daughter home.
We put her down in the capsule and we looked at each other and like, okay, so what do we do now?
We do have more physical complaints as we get older.
This is fertility expert Dr. Karen again. She says pregnancy is risky at any age, but the reality just is that there are more complications when you're older.
At age 45, you're middle-aged, and there's a lot of other influences on your physical health.
Complications for mums can include pre-eclampsia, which is really high blood pressure, and gestational diabetes. For bub, the risks include growth restriction, premature birth, and stillbirth. On the other hand, being older and more badass can be a great thing for parenting. Take it from the doctor.
It might be that in terms of maybe your psychological health, you might even be stronger and better off because you've lived life, you've got a life experience, and you have a lot of other things that might help you, including maybe better finances. So there's good and bad.
Dr. Karen has first-hand experience of that good and the bad of being an older mum.
I gave birth when I was 46.
The pregnancy was a happy accident.
I had wanted to have another baby. My older child was born when I was 36, but it didn't happen. I had a couple of miscarriages, and knowing what I know, I thought that's perfectly kind of understandable.
Dr. Karen's second pregnancy was difficult. She needed surgery and went on bed rest, and after her son was born, she really felt the crushing toll of no sleep. But the joys her brand new, unexpected son brought were unmatched.
Just having a baby in the family is fantastic. And with a lot of grown-ups around, you share the load a bit. And there were older siblings, older stepchildren, and everyone was just wanting to, look after this little baby. And he's basically brought up by the village more than by just me.
Dr. Karen also had life experience to draw on. 10 years after having her first child, she was a lot more relaxed with number two.
You've been through a lot of other things and you know you can overcome difficulties, and you kind of draw on your resources and you put one foot in front of the other and look at the positives, because it's really the joy of seeing a new life and a baby through its developmental stages. It's good fun. Hard work, but good fun.
I hope you don't mind me asking you about being mistaken for your child's grandparent. Did that ever happen to you, Dr. Karen?
Yes.
Oh my God. So what happened?
I was back in Sweden, where I come from, yeah. And I was on a beach with my boy, and some other dumb kid said, "Is that your grandma?" I wanted to slap him. Yeah. No, fair enough. Fair enough.
That lady sort of said to me, "Are you mum or grandma?"
Heather in Perth had her long-awaited son at 47, and she too was confronted by other people's judgment. The first time she got some shade, she was out for dinner not long after giving birth when a stranger asked whether she was her baby's mum or grandma.
I said to her, "I think it's much nicer in this situation to just ask if I'm his mum, because if I'm his mum, you've got your answer. And you haven't suggested I'm too old to be his mum, whereas by saying, are you his grandma, you are sort of implying, you look old."
Despite the occasional side eye from strangers, Heather's age doesn't stop her from being involved with her son. She's 49 now and her son is 2.
All the young mums are sitting there having their chit-chats, having their coffees and things. But I'm the one that's up doing the activities with the kids. I'm on the flying fox with him on my knee, going down screaming like a banshee, having fun with him, because I'm old enough and I realise that memories are what matters most, I'm not going to get that time back. He's not going to get that time back. I need to invest in him.
To be clear, no judgment on mums having a well-earned break and chin wag over a coffee. That 100% was me when I was doing prams in parks. But Heather does feel a difference between herself and the younger mums. She feels like her life experience gives her a more relaxed approach to the messy, endless work of parenting a toddler.
This morning before I came in, I'd picked a bunch of grapes off the grapevine outside.
There was a mop and a bucket in the backyard, and the bucket had little slits in the top for the mop to drain. Perfect for some toddler mischief.
And he was picking all the grapes and dropping it into the slots. And in my head, I'm thinking, how hard is that going to be to get out of here? And I'm just like, and then I looked at him and I realised he was counting the grapes as he was dropping them in. And I'm like, you know what? That's learning. And he's going, 8, 9. 10, I'm like, cool, I'll pick it up later, it's fine.
So, Heather, you're a lot more patient than you used to be.
So patient.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't mean I don't have my moment of, oh my gosh, like, can I have 10 minutes of not being touched, please?
Yeah, sure.
Like every mum does. And I just sort of think, it's not the end of the world, I can fix that.
A lot of your friends, people that you've known for a long time, would have had teenagers.
Yes.
Kids that are now quite a lot older and,
yeah.
and you're with this newborn. How did those friends react to you having a new baby?
I have the most amazing group of girlfriends. I really, really do. And they just love on him, take care of him. You know, they just really love him.
Yeah.
And the kids do too. One of my friends has a son who's 9 and a son who's 15. They're getting in my swimming pool and I say, will you take Will? And they're like, absolutely, put his bathers on, let's go. Everyone's so grateful that he's here, that he's a really, really cherished child is what I would say, by everybody, especially his crew of aunties.
And for Heather, that army of aunties is more essential than ever. Heather's husband's cancer is terminal. He's 50 years old, but because he's unwell, most of the parenting load falls on her.
He can't do basic things like pick up our baby, roll over in bed, pick things off the floor very easily, anything you might use your abs for, and it's everything.
By the end of the day, Heather and her husband are exhausted, but their son is not.
It's 7 p.m. He's still doing forward rolls across the couch and commando jumping across things, and we're just looking at him like, how do you can that energy and can we have some?
When they're looking down the barrel of dinner and bedtime, the tired parents lock in.
My husband and I kind of look at each other and we sort of go, how much energy have you got? And he's like, I'm like a 7 out of 10. I'm like, well, I'm a 6 out of 10, so it's you for the next bit.
Heather is trying to enjoy the time she has left with her family in its current configuration.
He's doing chemotherapy at the moment just to halt it in its tracks by a little bit of time. He has thankfully got a fairly slow growing cancer, so he should be able to last a fair few years and hopefully old enough for Will to have memories of him in person rather than just looking at photos and videos. Definitely brings a lot of sadness at times to when Will does really happy things. It's not just a joyful moment of happy things. It's a moment of he's not going to be here to see these soon.
Heather didn't get pregnant when she thought she would, and she doesn't have the future that she thought she would. But families don't always work out the way we want them to or imagine them to, and in spite of it all, she's pretty stoked with hers.
Even knowing that Ryan was going to get sick, even knowing that I would be probably raising him on my own, I would do it again in a heartbeat, and so would he. It's just those little moments like that where we just, it's the joy is just unrelenting, and I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful that that is the case. Absolutely. The small moments, the family moments together just are the best moments of my life for sure.
Just after everything we'd been through and everything that happened, I was like, I got her.
Sydney mum Zoe forged through years of IVF before finally bringing her daughter home at age 44.
I was so satisfied that first couple of months. I see, look at back at the photos and I see like I'm just this satisfaction on my face. I just became what any normal mum would become, you know, her mum.
Zoe was reaping the rewards of investing in her career for years before having kids. She was in a position where she could take her time getting back to work.
I was so focused on her that first year. I did have maternity leave, extended maternity leave. So I thought, we worked so hard, I took 12 months. So I was able to just be immersed in being her mum.
Zoe's daughter is a turbo toddler 2-year-old now. Meanwhile, Zoe's husband is 55 and she is 47 and dun, 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 deep in the weeds of perimenopause.
I feel like I'm losing it, like a lot of the time. I feel like, you know, am I premenstrual or am I just like hormonal or am I like you're questioning everything. Like, what am I feeling? Am I feeling this because I'm tired? And my husband, he's like, why are you so angry? Like, well, I haven't slept and I'm hormonal. And he's like, okay. Just, you know, like, keep calm.
Oh,
so I feel for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard. It's hard because I forget things now. Like, my mind is just a fog. And I'm like, what's happening to me?
Along with dealing with symptoms of peri, Zoe is also dealing with the commentary that comes with being an older mum.
There's a lot of stigma and feedback around older mums at that point where it's like, you know, you're not going to be around for your child and, you know, you read all these things online and, you know, you're going to be the oldest mum at the school. And I'm like, so? You know, you've worked harder than anything in your entire life to get this child into the world. It doesn't matter how old you are.
But ironically, being too old doesn't stop people from also asking when Zoe's going to have another kid.
Everyone's like, she's getting on. You know, she's going to be two. Don't you want to give her a sibling? And da-da-da-da. I don't know. I just want to enjoy her. Mm. I'm still just trying to find myself after all this. Mm. You know, it's not only just getting pregnant 9 months, I've had a child. It was 3 years prior to that, the complete roller coaster that we were on. I'm just starting to feel normal again. I just thought the other day, my body's just starting to feel like it's mine. I'm in control. So I'm not ready to give that up yet.
Zoe's husband is also adjusting to the big life change of becoming a parent.
It's hard for him too.
Yeah.
You know, he's...
Because he's had his whole life.
Like, he's 55 now and I'm 47 and we have an almost two-year-old. So you're always on. There's no downtime. It's getting used to that as well.
Right.
And he absolutely adores her.
Yeah, but you can't hand them back to somebody because they're living with you.
That's it. That's it. She's ours. There's no like, oh, can we go now?
Or can you go, kid? Where's your actual family?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Zoe, what's the best thing about being an older mum?
You're able to just think about things a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I'm missing out. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I've travelled. You know, I've had careers, those things that I think I saw a lot of my friends go through where it was like, oh, we can't come out. You know, we were still going out in our 30s. I was still going out. We were having fun. We were going on holidays. So I think the best thing is you don't feel like you're missing out. You're ready for it.
There's a wise saying that goes like this. If you want a job well done, ask a busy woman. It basically means when a woman is competent, busy, and engaged with the world, adding a few more tasks to her plate is probably going to have a better outcome than trying to get an incompetent man, for instance, with tons of spare time to do the same job. And frankly, the same applies for being a parent. By the time we get to middle age, we have figured a ton of stuff out. We work with breathtaking speed and efficiency. We're confident. We're advanced and fairly unflappable. And if we add raising a human to that load, chances are we're going to nail it. However, that doesn't mean it's easy and doesn't mean we don't need our villages and wouldn't like some help, some pay rises and free entry to the lounge once in a while. Older mums may not be effortlessly oozing fertility while bouncing to coffee dates with mates, but they may be, in fact, the ones on the flying fox being older flying foxes. This podcast was produced on the lands of the Gadigal and Muwinina peoples. Ladies We Need to Talk is mixed by Anne-Marie de Bettencourt. It's produced by Elsa Silberstein and Sarah Mashman, and our executive producer is Tamar Cranswick. This series was created by Claudine Ryan.